Welcome to the Stream of David on Om Times Radio with best-selling author, channel, and creator of the Taya spiritual practice, David Strickel, shares the eternal wisdom of the consciousness called the Stream. The Stream of David show is fun and informative and seeks to not only answer all your spiritual and life questions, but to also provide proven tools to navigate life's obstacles and find a path to joy, clarity, and abundance by hearing the Stream's no-nonsense, direct approach to spirituality. Prepare to have your mind blown and receive clarity on your life and the universe like you perhaps never have before. And now, your host, David Strickel.
Welcome to the Stream of David show. I'm here with a good friend of mine and a person I think you're really...
It is phenomenal. I'm in Napa, so that's wine country, and we have rolling green hills and about 2.5 hours out of San Francisco, and I got the opportunity to drive out to San Francisco yesterday. So I was like this excited little kid. Because I was on the Golden Gate Bridge, and to me this was like great. So then I stopped and I became a tourist in California, even though I grew up here. It was much fun. Talk about
I used to live in the city, and my office was out in Marin County in San Francisco, and I drove over the Golden Gate every day that I was in town working. I drove over the Golden Gate every day, and I have to tell you that I never lost appreciation for living in that magnificent city and driving over that beautiful bridge every day. I just thought it's just such a cool vibe on that bridge, you know? Mm-hmm. So I totally get it. And, you know, I didn't live far from where, Napa's not far from where I was living in San Francisco. So it was a nice little day trip up there. So if you don't know Debbie G, Debbie G has a fantastic Facebook group called Spirituality Gone Wild. And I highly recommend if you're on Facebook to jump over and send a request to join Spirituality Gone Wild. And if you're not on Facebook, create an alias and join Facebook just to get in Spirituality Gone Wild. It's that cool of a group. So Debbie, why don't you tell them a little bit about Spirituality Gone Wild?
I love talking about Spirituality Gone Wild. It's exactly what it sounds like. So it is a place for people who are doing really awesome work out there to be seen. It is a place to go and just be you and be okay to be you. One of my favorite hosts on Spirituality Gone Wild is this guy named David Strickel with a Stream of David.
Oh, the reciprocity has begun already on the show, I see.
Can't help myself.
I host a show every Wednesday in there at 4:00, and it's what I like about Spirituality Gone Wild is the name is perfect. It is the Wild West of spirituality because there's no definition in that group about what spirituality is. It's spirituality is a big tent. There's all sorts of different belief systems kind of all ensconced in this broad term spirituality. So when we're on in there, we get all kinds of cool questions, crazy questions sometimes. I really like the energy in there.
I do too. And one of the things that I love about it is it's a platform. It's a place for others to be seen. But really the idea here is that it's driving people who are like, wow, I love what I just heard from David Strickel. I want to know more. I love what I just heard about O Magazine. I want to know more. And that they are catapulted, whoever is listening to whomever it is or whatever direction it is, so that their awakening, their expanding, their growing can happen, and they can just have access to whatever that might look like for them. And, you know, we never know, like, who's going to hear what and it's going to resonate with them. And so it's just that uniqueness. But I love SGW, and the reason that I started it was for this reason. I was talking to my friend Bob Miller. He's no longer with us, and he was like my gratitude guru. And I'm like, gosh, Bob, you know, it's like spirituality gone wild. He goes, what'd you just say? And I said, spirituality gone wild. And no, it's not a spinoff from Girls Gone Wild.
Very, very different branding, the Girls Gone Wild between spirituality gone wild.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, what has been for our harm has turned for our good. Talk about contrast. So
yeah. Well, you know, there's contrast on all topics. And the cool thing about Spirituality Gone Wild is that, you know, first of all, it's on Facebook. And I know when I joked earlier about if you're not on Facebook, create an alias and go on, because I do hear people sometimes saying, well, you know, I don't want to be on Facebook. It's so negative. There's politics. There's all this stuff. And it can be that. And I actually kind of took a break from Facebook for quite a while and really kind of switched over to Instagram for my social media fix, if you will. But then when I started the Stream of David, I realized that I could connect to people on Facebook really like no other medium out there, that I'm aware of at least, that you can really connect deeply. You can have these groups. You can, you know, really get specific about what you're doing in your groups and who you want to join your group and targeting that audience and things like that. It's a fantastic tool. And, you know, some people see it as the downfall of humanity for sure. And it probably could be that if we used it that way. But just like everything else, it's really, there's contrast on every topic. There's positives about it and negatives. And I'm choosing to focus on the positive tools that are available to us in there. And Spirituality Gone Wild is just a great group. It's a big tent, all sorts of beliefs today, but there you go.
You what?
You cut out there for a moment.
Oh, goodness. I was blessed to be able to meet you in person to begin with, you know, and we were able to connect in person and develop our relationship from that space, and it's awesome. So I love it when you said plain, though, because anybody that knows you knows that that's just not, you are not that.
Well, I appreciate that, but there's definitely a difference between me and the stream, and, you know, part of what I do with sharing the stream's message is I do me and my operator, which I think is going to be a lot of fun when we start doing that. And the only reason we're not doing that right now is that David, the human, needs to get more comfortable with the technology before we start taking callers and things like that. But it's fun getting to know, you know, letting the audience get to know all of the people that sort of populate the Stream of David world and the stream's teachings. And, you know, we've got several guests that are beyond that coming up on future shows. But I love having you and Matt on in the beginning, just to kind of set the tone and let everybody get to know you, because Debbie's got a lot of great things that she does. Debbie G, Debbie Gratitude is how many people refer to you. And you were in the beginning, when I first started associating with you, you were very much into gratitude, and you still are, I know, but you had the Cup of Grata show in the morning. Are you still doing that?
I am relaunching the Cup of Grata, yeah, with a shot of expression and two squirts of reality, you bet.
That was how I first met Debbie. I was a guest on her Cup of Grata show, and she lived out here at the time. I live in Palm Springs, California. She lived out here in the desert, and we just got to know each other. She held a big event here, a big spiritual event, very well attended. And that was the largest live audience that I had channeled for ever at that point. And so that was really cool.
Oh, it was so much freaking fun. You know, it was awesome because wasn't Leon Hendricks, Jimmy's brother, playing at that one?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That was completely cool. Cause Leon.
Yeah. That was cool to meet Jimi Hendrix's brother. He was a cool guy, you know, in his own right for sure. So I thought that was a great experience. That was just, it was a great event, and I look forward to you being able to come back in the future and do something like that again, because I think you put on a fantastic event, and it was so much fun just being up there and feeling that energy of channeling in front of that many people and having them come up and sit and you know, ask questions and do all that kind of stuff. I just love doing that. It's my favorite thing.
I'm getting excited just hearing you talk about it because it was
Yeah, we got to do some more of that. So let's get back to Debbie Gratitude. So in addition to gratitude, which is a big part of the Taya spiritual practice, and in the second segment, we'll get into Debbie's experience with that. But she talks a lot about gratitude and the importance of that. And Debbie is also a love coach. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Love coach. gratitude is my vibe. I'm known as the G-Vibe girl. Spark the G-Vibe is what I say. It's your gratitude vibration. I am the gratitude whisperer. And love coaching, that is simply a fun term for compassionate communication. David has been one of my mentors now over the past couple of years, and the Taya Boot Camp, and also Love Coach Academy, and Scott Katamas. So I had been studying this for a couple of years, actually, and I just went through it again, another course again, just because it's been my experience thus far that communication and building these skills is an everyday practice as well. communicating how we communicate with our friends, our partners. If you have a partner, I'm single, so I haven't practiced it on a live one yet. Just the ones that aren't live. Just kidding.
Wow. You're giving a lot of insight into your personal life on live radio, Debbie. There you go.
Well, I mean, Jiminy Crickets.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I am in a newish relationship. This is my third in life significant relationship, romantic relationship. And mm-hmm. I'm handling it very differently, you know, post-Taya and post-Debbie G than I have handled other relationships in the past. And, you know, there's little things that used to really bother me in my relationships that don't bother me anymore. And one of them is that I'm really, this is something that's happening for me right now in real time. I'm very neat. I like my house to be really clean and I clean up after myself. And I've always been with people who aren't as neat as me. In fact, opposite of me, right? All three of them at this point. And the guy that I'm with right now is actually living in my house. He's remodeling his home here in the desert. And we've been together long enough to where we decided, you know what? It's time for us to talk about cohabitating. And this is a great time. Why don't you move in with me while you're remodeling your house? And if all goes well, then I'll move in with you when your house is done. So we're doing that right now. And we're several weeks into that at this point. I knew moving in just from visiting his home that that he was a little messier than me. Uh-oh. And so I was really taken aback, you know, by my reaction, my positive reaction to some of his messiness, because every time I see him leaving a mess somewhere or, you know, leaving his little wrappers of Equal on the counter by the coffee maker or his little contact lens wrapper in the bathroom, I look at that and say, I'm so happy that he's here. I'm so happy this person's in my life. And it's not a big deal if I have to take this and throw it in the trash. Instead of my old reaction, which was, you know, why can't he just throw it in the trash? Oh my gosh, you know, he needs to take better care of things. And it's totally changed my dynamic in this relationship because none of that stuff's a big deal. None of that stuff matters. I don't mind picking up and throwing away, and I don't feel like I'm being a doormat or anything like that. I'm pretty alpha as it is. So if I have a real problem, I'm going to address it. But it's not a real problem. You know, it's just easy. And the communication with him, and it's interesting because I'm, you know, an author, a spiritual teacher at this point, and he's a psychologist. So our communication is very interesting.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know he was a psychologist. This is getting really good. Oh yeah. My God. I'm loving this. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, that you have really let go a lot of the control things that you held onto. And I think that might've been like that last part for you, because I mean, you had done so much work up to the point of getting into this relationship with him. And so now you've leveled up. I am like, just so enamored by all of this. This is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and we were in communication while all this was going on. You know, I met somebody over the summer that I thought was, and I share it. And if you're new to the show, and most of you probably are, since I'm new to the network, I share everything about my life very openly. I'm a very open book. And the reason that I share so openly is because I like to then apply the stream teaching, the Taya spiritual practice tools to how I'm utilizing them in my own life. Mm-hmm. They're of the most use to all of you out there. If I give you a real life demonstration of life's imperfections and how we use these tools, and Debbie's doing the same thing with her coaching, which is obviously she knows what she's talking about, because I, you know, met someone that I thought was the love of my life over the summer, and that person turned out not to be. It was a total disaster of a situation. And through that situation, and one of the things that we teach in Taya is that when you manifest something negative in your life, you're doing it to bring about change, to bring about a situation that you need to grow, you know, expand to solve, and then thus expand in general from. And the expansion that I received is that person, the disastrous brief relationship, that person introduced me to the person I'm with now, which is pretty amazing, right?
It was completely, actually, I loved it because I remember when we were talking about that, I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. But this is also how it works, because it's a shift of the perspective. You really did stay in gratitude. Once you got over the whole shock factor of attracting a narcissist and being in that, well, you know, sorry about the labels, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and really looking at why that you were pulling that in and calling it in, and then working, you would go down your spiral and then you work back up to see what the true, what your true needs and values that weren't being met were, and really took a look at what this, how this was affecting you and what you needed to change. And so what I'm hearing you say today is that you've really taken that to level up, raise your standards, number one, and really step into a space of communication that works. Like when we're empathetic and we express that to another person, when we care about that person, you're right. The little stuff, it absolutely doesn't matter, because we're able to be in the energy of what is really important. And that's the true essence of who we are as both a human being and as a spiritual being. And when we look at what we are grateful for, because I heard you say, you know, when you see that the equal on the counter, the wrappers, it's like, I'm good with this. I am so grateful he's here, and I'm so stoked about what my life looks like. And this is just nothing compared to what the grandioso awesomeness that I'm looking at and experiencing. But you created.
Yeah, you know, and the cool thing about all of that is that you can use that. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a break real quick. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how in the practice of Taya, we utilize gratitude and appreciation for all things, including things we once considered negative. We'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio.
The Taya spiritual practice is changing lives all over the world. Listen to what just a few of our Taya Bootcamp graduates have to say about this life-changing experience.
This work is profound. If you do the Taya Bootcamp and maintain a daily practice, you will fundamentally change your life. I've maintained my practice pretty regularly since graduating. I meditate every day, I trust the universe to deliver what I want, I set intentions for my day, and I monitor my vibe up and down my virtual spiral. Doing these things consistently and regularly has made me a better father to my kids, a better lover to my partner, and a better boss to my team. This work is transformational, and it will completely change your life. I can't recommend it enough.
I'm happier than I've ever been in months, years, you know, just learning how to live life again. I'm living proof. This course is amazing. It's life-changing.
Visit thestreamofdavid.com/TYA to learn more and book your free discovery meeting today.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And we're back with Debbie G, also known as Debbie Gratitude. So before the break, we were talking about gratitude and relationships and what you do with your coaching. And of course, peppered in with a little bit of the Taya practice, which you've been through Taya boot camp. Let's kind of get back in and continue the thought where we left off on using gratitude in your relationships.
Absolutely. So one of the keys to using gratitude is looking for what's good. And what's happened in old belief systems is we were conditioned to not see what was good. We instantly went from, oh my God, this is happening to me. Oh my gosh, you're doing this to me. To shifting that perspective to one that is of gratefulness, which is a state of being, a state of beingness. Dr. Robert Emmons does the greatest studies out of UC Berkeley and has for the last 30 years about what happens to our actual brain and our chemistry within our body when we practice this, when we practice gratitude, when we practice looking at the people in our lives and the who we're grateful for and raising that up to, wow, not only do I appreciate you, but you let them know. And when you've got things that are not going well, you're able to really shift it at that moment with the mindfulness tools and see that, okay, what am I grateful for them about? What is it? What is the good that happens in my life because this person's in it? Rather than focusing on the things that are not working. You know, not that there are things that are not working that aren't valid, because they are, but somehow this takes the sting out of it, so that when you can actually go forward with nonviolent communication, or compassionate communication, you can really do an empathy check with gratitude.
I like how you said nonviolent. I'm thinking, gosh, I hope it's nonviolent. Let's get all the way to gratitude from nonviolence.
Like, seriously.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Well, actually, Marshall Rosenberg was the person who made nonviolent communication a thing. Emotional intelligence, there's another word for you. I call it gratitude intelligence. This is the new way to talk, the new way to communicate, and the new way to be. Gratitude is the foundation for virtually everything. Appreciation, just the flow of appreciation, just the energy of that in the shift that it creates in one's life. You know, and what I love are some of the myths behind gratitude, and we can bust those up. You know, gratitude, that's just complacency and it makes you lazy. Well, absolutely not, because the studies that have been done are that gratitude in practice in the workplace raises the percentage of productivity by 18%. People that practice gratitude also have less heart attacks by 30%. Now, these are studies that have been done through the university and have been tracked for the last 30 years, and there's a lot more than that. Those are just a couple of samples. And the reason it works so well is super simple, because it is rewiring our brain. Our brain has been wired to look at life as though it is evil and it's doing something bad to us. At least
right, victims. Victims,
experience.
For sure.
Yeah. Victim syndrome, I call that victim syndrome. And we have a special emergency kit for those in victim syndrome. It's called gratitude.
We have an epidemic of victim syndrome all over the world, really.
Well, yeah, we do. So if we can really, and what's, here's the beauty of it. Gratitude's sneaky. It shifts victim mentality without even realizing it. I've watched it in my own life. I've watched it with people. And it's amazing how that happens. You know, you have somebody who's just like, oh, this person, they're just doing this and they're doing that, and blah, blah, blah. And when you ask the question, can you give me, you know, five things that person brings to your life that you're grateful for? I have to stop and think for a minute, because they're probably triggered in that moment and they're angry, mm-hmm. and they're in their animal body. And they,
yeah, well, that's the down the spiral, up the spiral thing, right? They're in lower vibration. So in that lower vibration, they may not be able to find that positive thing. But if they can relax a little bit and raise their vibration, suddenly your brain is functioning differently and you can indeed find things to be grateful for about just about anything.
Totally. Absolutely. Because what happens?
Even painful things.
Well, yeah, we're in the reptilian part of our brain. The rah, rah, rah. The idea is to shift this up into the frontal lobe of our brain and get into heart and brain coherence and really come from a space of our heart center. And that's what gratitude allows. And when we're down our spiral and we're in our reptilian brain, it's very hard to do that. So by being in appreciation and using the skills that Taya teaches and using gratitude and appreciation as one of your number one tools, then you can detune what is currently going on that's creating this feeling of separateness, that you are separate from anything. And that's really what happens when we are, think about it. When you're angry and whatnot, you feel like you're alone, you're separate, nobody cares. I mean, we really get into, I used to get into some great stories. I could have won Emmys for being a victim, actually, and codependency, literally. I tell you, in fact, I'm sure, David, I've got Emmys sitting, so maybe even some Oscars sitting somewhere.
Yeah, you don't even know about them. They just rewarded them to you, and they haven't arrived yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Totally. I was like,
we're taught to think that way. And I know some people hear this, and, you know, again, if you're new to these teachings, it can be off-putting because, you know, people don't like the idea of victim blaming, you know, that, mm-hmm. It was, you know, your fault that bad thing happened to you. It's not about fault. It really is not about fault. It's about manifestation and accepting that we all manifest a mix of positive and negative things in our lives based on our vibration and understanding how to gain better control over your vibe. And what better way to raise your vibration than to stand in gratitude of something? And a big part of the Taya practice is finding a path to gratitude for the very worst things in our lives, which is not easy to do. But man, when you do, it changes your life.
Totally. I am walking, living, breathing proof. Without your dark, you wouldn't know your spark. That's my tagline. And the reason that I say that is that when I have people who say, yeah, but I'm a victim, I had childhood trauma. Cheerios, so did I. But wait a minute, I was a battered wife. Cheerios, so was I. Oh, but wait a minute, I've had this happen and I've had that. Oh yeah, me, I gotcha. I feel you. I have been so blessed to be in the shoes of so many of the different me's throughout my life that gave me the experience that I had, that experience which I've grown from and I'm grateful for. Let me tell you what Taya does. I created this. I'm grateful for any perpetrator I may have ever had. I'm grateful for my trauma. That's a huge shift from any part of victim that might be there. Complaining, fault finding, and all those other things. Which, by the way, even when I was going through Taya boot camp, I was catching myself all the time. Miss Queen of Gratitude, totally blowing it. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, there's Queen Gratitude. Of course, my sons, they're really good at saying, oh, hey, Mom, you're not being Miss Gratitude right now. Where is she?
Yeah. You know, when you teach this stuff and you devote your life to it, your people that are closest to you have a way of calling you out on things when you're right. Up down your spiral, right?
Totally.
I have that in my life too. My psychologist boyfriend definitely does that with me. I love it. I think it's funny. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Oh my God. I can't even freaking imagine it. Oh my God. You have somebody. So, because accountability is where you were going with this whole thing when you were talking about manifesting in your title. Well, my life sucks. Yes, I realize that you feel your life.
Yeah,
you
keep singing the song about your past and you keep singing the song about your life sucking. It's going to continue to be that way. And again, if you're new to this, you know, bear with us. It takes a little time for all of these teachings to unfold if you haven't heard things such as this before. I know it's off-putting when you hear somebody saying, be grateful for being, you know, abused or something of that nature. It's a different type of gratitude. It's not sitting and wishing that it happens again or sitting and saying that you deserved it in some way or anything like that. You know, it's a little more complex than that. But the point we're trying to get across is when you find your path to gratitude for everything in your life, including the worst aspects, the things that we call transgressors, the people, circumstances, and events that have shaped your life in a negative way, that's very empowering. And that's why we teach that, because it's extremely empowering to view these things from a different lens. And when you do, it changes your reality. And when you do, it changes your point of attraction for what's going to come in your life in the future. And that's what we're going for here, so that you never have to endure something of that nature again, because you've taken complete power with it.
Oh, that was seriously delicious. Thank you. I mean, that was some good gratitude.
good grata food. That's great. I actually like that.
Really good grata food. I mean,
yeah. So Debbie and I worked together for a while, and then she came into boot camp probably about 6 months into our knowing one another and went through the boot camp program and, you know, came out the other side, you know, with some things that she already knew and certainly some new tools. And now she's a mentor in the program. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a great community of people, because you talk about a group of people who were all have things in their past. Some really horrific things, the worst things that you can imagine happening to humanity. You know, we have some people in the boot camp program that have endured that and going through it, taking responsibility, working through it. But while we're doing this, we're all human beings. Our vibration is changing all the time. Polarity is impacting our vibrational spiral all the time. This is why some days we're more up, other days we're more down. We may not even know why. And our energy is just never going to be consistent all the time. And that's actually a universal law. If you don't know about it, you probably do. But it's a universal law that's in place to ensure that we receive a mix of positive and negative. And it's funny, we had an Instagram post. My Instagram page is The Stream of David, just like everything else. And we had a post over the weekend talking about how people that project themselves into what we consider the worst of circumstances are actually advanced souls who are looking to have that very challenging life experience on planet Earth as a human being. And of course, if you're new to the teachings and you see something like that, it really blows people away sometimes. And this woman, you know, messaged and said, I just can't imagine that somebody would be born into poverty or famine or, you know, these horrible conditions that you see. You know, why would that be? Where's the science behind that? And I channeled an answer for her, and the response was very long. But if you go into the Instagram account, you can actually see it, you know, because it's hard to just explain in an Instagram post why that is. But the Instagram post did its job, because it actually sparked questions. It sparked people to think differently than we're taught to think. And we are taught to be victims in our society and not take any personal responsibility for what we're attracting. Even as children, we're attracting. But where does that attraction come from? How does a small child attract being abused? That's the question that most people seem to have. And, you know, I was certainly born into an interesting situation with a father that disappeared when I was six. And my mother was certainly not winning any Mother of the Year awards. You know, I went on to have other negative manifestations as an adult, just like everybody has. But really reflecting upon those things and understanding that we sort of place ourselves on that path from the get-go vibrationally, because we're here to have problems. We're here to solve them. We're here to maybe not solve them. We're here to experience both positive and negative. And if you allow it, your negative will serve you.
Actually, that's probably one of the spice of life. That's the spice of life from Taya. The negative will serve you. And you see, there's the shift right there. How is this working for me, not against me? My life is, look at all this stuff happening to me. The idea here is shifting it to, how is it working for me? How is this for me? You know, contrast, David, we've got the sun and the moon, yin and yang. Everything is polarity. Everything is positive, negative. That's just how the universe is created. And it is universal law. And the idea is that when we start seeing that dark is not bad, what's interesting is, you know, oh, but it's so dark. Yeah, but when you're sleeping and it's dark, you're good with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I've endured, you know, some negative things in my life, and there are other people that have certainly endured worse. But while you're in it, no one can know what you're feeling unless they're in it.
Right.
And I remember the first time I really understood that was on 9/11. You know, I was an adult at that point. You know, I was well into my adulthood at that point. And I remember that happening. And I remember it being so unbelievable for a few moments. And then I remember finding out that my then brother-in-law was actually in one of the towers. And so I had to drive and pick up my then partner from work because he was too upset to even drive. And we had to go down to his mother's house about 30 minutes away. And we were going to go down and tell her that this was happening in case she hadn't gotten up yet and that her son was in the building. And I remember just thinking, wow, reality just changed. This new reality is that we've been attacked by something. Something's going on. You know, it's not a coincidence that two planes would hit two different towers at the same time, practically. And, you know, we're in a war zone now. We didn't know what to make of that day, those of us that recall that. And I just remember this shifting my, I wasn't all distraught. I wasn't, oh my gosh, you know, I shifted into, I've got to take care of him. We've got to go down and take care of her, you know, and luckily he survived. He got out of the second tower, but you know, a lot of people didn't. And that whole reality just really shifted very instantaneously. And now I realize when you're in these traumatic situations, you adjust to it. It's not, doesn't mean that you want it, but you sort of adjust to your new reality. And for just a little bit there, you know, that was our collective new reality in the United States for a while. And certainly that day was just a new reality for me, not knowing, you know, what was going on with my in-laws and things like that. And I really got that, wow, when these things happen, you just sort of adjust to it. It just becomes a new reality. And I look back across my life and realize, you know, there were traumatic things that happened to me for sure, but then I adjusted to it. And you can. And absolutely. If someone's suffering, it's perfectly fine to look at that and think, I don't want to see them suffer. Is there something I can do to help? Of course, that's fine. But trying to take that on as you're going to hold humanity away from suffering, you know, that's a pretty tall order. And when the stream comes through and says, you know, that's not our job to do that. It's not their job to do it, nor is it our job, because we're here for our contrast. We're here for positive and negative. And the negative serves the great purpose of being the launch pad of our next new creation. Debbie, I'm going to take another quick break. And when we get back, we're going to wrap up with that and a few other topics tied to Taya and Debbie G. We'll be right back.
Your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The Taya spiritual practice is changing lives all over the world. Listen to what just a few of our Taya Bootcamp graduates have to say about this life-changing experience.
I see Taya overflowing in every aspect of my life. It's just truly magnificent. There were times that I was not self-assured and didn't have the self-confidence, but now I'm fearless. I really love myself, and I know how to live in joy and let go of all these things that held me back from living this beautiful life I've always dreamed of. And it's amazing how rapidly those things start showing up once you practice Taya.
It changes everything about you, and it will affect all other aspects of your life, your health, your career, your money, your relationships. And I think that certainly has helped with my anxiety, with my mental health. I'm realizing that, wait a second, I do deserve the best in life.
Visit thestreamofdavid.com/TYA to learn more and book your free discovery meeting today.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back once again with Debbie G. So, Debbie, let's wrap up this show. We got a few more minutes left, and I really want to dive a little deeper into love coaching. You kind of started out talking about that, but let's kind of circle back to that topic real quick.
Oh, I love this. So, love coaching. Why love coaching? Well, you see, I was in this 13-year relationship with somebody I truly adored. And we had a great run together. And he and I broke up. And this was just about 5 years ago. And, you know, something hit me about that point in time and my devastation and my absolute old coping skills that sent me into a spiral of pure HE double hockey sticks that I said, oh my gosh, I need to be single and I need to figure out what I'm doing here because something's not working. Then I kind of want to address what you were talking about with the Twin Towers in my own life. What I experienced was that, you know, and ground zero, and that came in the form of death. You know, the father of my children, he passed away. That was a huge, big one. We were best friends. We couldn't cohabitate, but that's a whole different thing. Back to the love coaching. Why did I need this? Why did I need to go into these studies? Having relationships that did not work. Being that I was almost 50 years old at this point going, something just isn't right. Because I thought for sure the last relationship I had was forever. So through this process of my own and going to ground zero in my life and seeing the gratitude and the grief that these people have, all we have is the moment. It was time for me to take a serious step, do some changes, and learn how to communicate. But it wasn't just that. What I found out was I didn't know what my own needs were. I didn't know what my own value was. What is my value for integrity? How to set proper boundaries so that I'm not, you know, I know how to speak my truth, create safe containers so that we can do that together without beating each other up. Or in my case, you know, being codependent and doormatty, doing all the things that growing up with alcoholism creates, you know, some of those bad patterns. So as I dove deeper and deeper into this subject and this study of communication and relationship and connection, I fell in love with it because it's everything that we do in life. And it has enhanced every relationship that I have. I learned to listen better. I used to talk so much, and I still talk a lot. I mean, hey, my mouth makes me money, you know? And not like any, not bad, good.
God, Debbie. I love that your mind still goes there too, but okay.
I can't help myself. This is before Xanadu. I just said I've been single for how long? I've got to do something here. Get it out into a joke. Do something. But understanding our needs and our values and understanding those things about myself, the fact that self first is not selfish. How self love, what does that look like really? And why is it important? How to implement self-love? Compassionate communication and love coaching is really truly about finding you. Permission to be yourself. And for me, it was a process of discovery of what my needs are, what my value really is. I just had to practice it this weekend because I needed to do that with in connection and relationship in the house that I'm in. You know, we had a situation come up and I was feeling some sort of way about something and I really needed to express some sort of way I was feeling about something. And I was able to do it without making that person wrong, bad, or stupid to the best of my ability. Because that's a big deal to me. Not to be able to tell somebody, hey, I'm really not digging what you're doing right now, but I don't want to make them bad, wrong, or stupid either. I don't have to be right or wrong. We learn this in Taya. That's not it. But how do I express my uncomfortableness right now and still love them compassionately through it? Because it's going to be uncomfortable. All of these things that this is why I became a love coach. And this is why I stepped into it, because marriages are not working out all over the place, because relationships are not working, because moms like me who are single moms don't communicate, they're not communicating with their children well, or maybe their kids have had addiction issues, which my sons have. It's all on live on Facebook, so I'm not exposing anything about my children that they would not appreciate. Well, my son Christopher, because he was very open about it. But all of this has taught me how to deal with even that, which is humongous, because that's a huge one, our kids, you know, as a parent. But it can be your boss. It could be your workspace. It could be anywhere. And this is why I love what I do. And it helps other people. They take these tools and they start realizing that they were never bad, stupid, wrong, and that there's nothing wrong with them. They don't need to be fixed. They're not broken. It's just simply a shift of perspective on how that they're doing things. And I chose to do this as a profession because, by golly, I've been through so much, and I get hurting people. I get them really well. And I want to be able to show them that there's hope on the other side of it, that there's a light, that there is a choice that they can make, that they don't have to stay in misery. And so that's no reason
very
to be miserable.
Good. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we can all, there's always another day. We can always be happy. And I remember being in my 30s thinking, you know, that being overweight and addicted to Oxycontin and in a bad relationship and working at a job that I hated was going to be what my life was going to be. I resigned to that in my 30s. And then I got in my 40s and said, to hell with that. I'm going to change everything. And I did. Mm-hmm. And then here I'm at 52. I just turned 52 this past week. Really, I reinvented every aspect of my life with these tools, and I love helping other people do the same thing. And you know, gratitude is a big part of it. Communication is a huge part of it. You touched on in the Taya practice, you know, not needing to be right, you know, releasing that need, being so comfortable with yourself and so comfortable and enlightened about, and I hate to use the word enlightened because people really kind of throw that around in various ways, but, you know, enlightened about the ways of the universe and the ways of the world. Because the ways of the world really are the ways of the universe. We just don't see it at face value. There's sort of this cloak over it where we all see things, you know, we're taught to see things very opposite to universal law. You know, that some people are lucky, some people aren't. You know, this isn't your fault. This is just something somebody did to you and there's nothing you can do about it. But all of that stuff is very depowering. And I'm about empowering people because we are powerful. We are. And you know, I have to tell people this all the time. People think that my life is the way it is because I'm a channel, and that's not true at all. You know, my life is the way it is because of the tools that I've been given and actually developed from a human perspective with the help of other people. I didn't create all of this just by myself. I created this with other people, especially the Taya practice. And we continually recreate it and expand it and evolve it. And the beauty of it is not needing to be right, is seeing things from a higher perspective that's available to all of us, is absolutely enriching our relationships. But, you know, the most important thing, and I know you know this, the most important thing in relationships, especially romantic relationships, is that we love ourselves first. Mm-hmm. That was such a game changer for me, Debbie. It really was. When I really got to a point where I really loved myself, that's when my last relationship self-destructed, and then my new relationship came in, you know, in less than a year's time, because I did that shift in learning to really love myself. And if you believe in the law of attraction, and of course a lot of what we teach is based on that, we call it law of attraction 2.0, a little further along than just, you know, you dream about a bicycle and it shows up in front of your house. That's not really how it works. But you know, just getting to that vibration of self-love then places you in the vibration of attracting someone who feels the same about you and themselves. And then suddenly you're in this amazing relationship with somebody else who is confident and happy and strong and self-assured and loves you and cherishes you and appreciates you. To me, that's the biggest secret of any relationship, is loving yourself first and being okay not having one, being okay being alone.
Shazam.
Because I wasn't looking for a relationship at all. I said I was going to be single for many, many years, and of course that didn't work out.
You crack me up. No, actually, that's what I love about you. You did say that. Here's, you know, it's the funniest thing, because when my ex and I split up, he totally was like, oh, I'm meant to be single. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm not. I'm the relationship person. I am the one that stayed single. And he, like, he's on his second one, which is great. You know, life's too short. And I brought up people in my life dying that were, like, excessively close to me, like heartbreaking, because life's too short. Period. Loving yourself is so important. It is the most vital thing that one could ever do, fully and completely and wholly, 100%. You know, David, we have a lot of the same, like, I was 20 years ago, I was 300 pounds, but I've dealt with the medication, the pills, the whole thing. We all go to some sort of coping mechanism. And, you know, one of the things that both of us are able to show people today is that it isn't about what it was that the quote-unquote addiction or quote-unquote the go-to was for anyone. That was a coping skill that served at that time, but one that wasn't obviously conducive to a life that you want. So part of the work that you get to do with Taya and with me and with all of this is really looking deeply at the shame and the blame and all the stuff and where it began. And how you can pull that up by the root and really start to see that you're really so worth it. You always have been. It never wasn't that you weren't. This was a belief. This was a false belief. Fear is one of the biggest things we bust through in Taya boot camp. False evidence appearing real. And that is the one thing that holds people back. But let's face it. Everything I've ever been afraid of, the minute I've taken a step and I'm on the other side of it, I'm still breathing. It hasn't taken me out, because if it had taken me out, I wouldn't be here. So obviously, I got through it. And it's the same with you, David. We've had some pretty torrential stuff that we've managed our way through. We're here to say there is a different way. It's really, I mean, all you got to do is make that decision that, and even if we don't believe it, like when I started looking in the mirror going, I love you, I was thinking, no, you didn't. Well, I was thinking bad things. It certainly was.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a process, right? Learning to love yourself and detuning your transgressors. None of that stuff happens in a day. It's a process. That's why we call it detuning. It takes time.
It takes a bit of time. But you know what? It's so worth it. Because guess what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's wonderful work. And, you know, I've been doing it now for over 10 years, and I have yet to find a ceiling of high highs. And I say now that my new low is my old high. I don't dip down into negative like I used to, but I still do. You know, I go up and down the spiral. And I find that I'm really aware when my vibration is dropping. And I know how to sort of relax into that and not perpetuate more negativity by, you know, beating myself up and doing all that stuff. Before we get to the end of the hour, why don't you tell everybody how to get in touch with you and where your page is and all of that?
Sure. Anybody that wants to get in touch with me, you can simply email me at lovecoachdebbie@gmail.com. You can go to gratitudealchemy.com. Again, that's gratitudealchemy.com. And I am actually launching a course right now with Scott Katanas on relationships. It's called Relationship Essentials. So relationshipessentials.org. And you can have a free 15-minute session with me to see if you're a good fit, if this is what you want to do as far as this is very much relationship-based. You can be single just like I was when I went through it. Scott's won 3 Emmys, his Grammy Award, and he actually won real Emmys, believe it or not, for all of his work in public television and PBS and touring with Marshall Rosenberg, and now he's done this work. So it's really cool. And he mixed that up with Taya, dude. And that's just like, that's some stuff right there. Can I tell
it's
you
all
what?
Mixed up. It's all a combination. So reach out to Debbie. And if you're interested in learning more about the Taya Bootcamp program, you can visit thestreamofdavid.com/Taya, T-Y-A. Debbie, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it. It's always fun. I can't wait to have you back and host the stream.
I cannot wait. That's going to be a treat.
Very good. Thank you all for listening. Namaste.